I've hit the record button. Can you give me a sound test?
That's a slinky for fun. It's a wonderful toy. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
That's good. You're coming through perfect. Let's see. Can you hear this? The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan. A picking out dough. Granny, will your dog bite? No, child. No. Yeah, I think we're good. Take it away, Joe.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another tedious edition of Just Be Cousins. My name is Joe Neal. And in the virtual studio, we have Jason Mark, who is jazz handing. He's shimmying.
I am.
His pasties are twirling aggressively. And he loves you.
I think you got the timing right on that one, dude.
Pure luck.
Pure luck.
There's those popping peas again. It was pure luck, Jason.
No, I like it. I'm looking at the waveform. I think you're fine. I should enhance the audio after we record, but I can't be bothered to remember stuff. I can barely remember my own name.
You take this so seriously.
No, I do not. I take this the opposite of seriously. What's the opposite of serious? XFM. XM Radio. Oh. No, that was a stupid joke. Wow, that was terrible.
Wow, I just got it. Great.
Yeah. Dumb.
I'm going to give that a 6.7.
Out of 10? Out of 400.
Out of 400. Anyway, so the sound is good. We got the good audio. It won't be a problem if I talk about my particularly powerful penis.
Nope. I don't know if I popped or not. I can't hear me. But that's okay. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Okay, for today's show, we're going commando, right?
Yes.
Do you know, like, have you used that expression in, like, your sartorial life? Have you ever gone commando?
I used to always be literally going commando, if you're talking about my junk dangling and rubbing its sweat and stink against my jeans as opposed to underwear. I used to do that all the time.
So, good. I want to ask, like, why do people wear underwear? I don't understand if I get the point of it. Like, okay, are you wearing underwear right now? What color are they?
Yes, I am. Let me tell you, big boy. They're green.
Green. I'm wearing black. And are you doing the tidy whitey, the tidy greenies? Are you doing boxer briefs or boxer shorts or your wife's underwear?
I do boxer briefs. So let me tell you a story. You asked me a question, and I have the perfect answer for it. In fact, I've already hinted at the answer. I recommend that men wear underwear.
Yeah.
I recommend that women wear panties. Well, actually, no, I take that back. I don't give a shit about that, really. But you know how I said dick and balls rubbing against your jeans?
Yes.
There's part of the answer. It's not good for your penis and balls to be constantly just being grated and chafed by jean material. Now, you might think, oh, my dick's fine. Everything's okay. But you know what, though? I'm not going to say that your penis is calloused. Even though I like the way that rolls off my tongue. Not your penis, but that sentence.
You like the way my callous penis rolls off your tongue?
I'm just saying, you might not realize it, but your junk might be a little bit less sensitive because it's constantly getting, like, buffed and shined by jean material. Here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. I like to wear one pair of jeans for several days at a time.
Yeah.
And if you're getting the sweat that is dripping down your balls directly on your jeans, you got one or two days tops before you start stanking those jeans up. So what you need to do is sweat. First of all, protect your calloused penis with the underwear. And then strip off the sweaty, disgusting, stinky underwear, put on fresh underwear so you don't have to keep changing jeans.
Okay.
That's my... I hope I answered your question adequately.
You did. You did. Yeah, because I just couldn't think, you know, what's the point? I mean, a bra, I get the point of a bra. Like, there's some port. And I can understand the usefulness of the tighty-whitey, you know, support. You know, if your balls are hanging low and you want to bring them up so they're not knocking on your knees, that makes sense. But, yes, wearing underwear for the sake of protecting your junk from your zipper and your jeans from your sweat so that you can wear your jeans more than one day. I mean, there are fastidious people out there, though, Joe, who don't wear pants more than one day, and they don't need the underwear because they're just sitting in the office, you know. They're not rubbing junk on polyester. They're just sitting there. I mean, for them, it might be. And here's another kind of theory. Like, okay, I appreciate what you're saying that, like, your junk can rub up on your jeans and get calloused and be less sensitive. But how about this? If you're, like, with a person of a sexual persuasion, like, because I don't want to say woman or man, whoever you're with, and that person is so has so little self-esteem that they're willing to put up with your massive ball stank, they're probably going to be a wildcat in bed. And you've also got the more calloused, less sensitive business going on, so you'll be able to last longer. I'm thinking the dirty skilly thing maybe is good, right? I mean, if you're getting busy with a hottie of whichever gender is, you know, your particular go-to, and that person is, like, really into you, and then I'm just going to say she for the sake of using a pronoun, and then she's like, oh, wait a minute, I detect a slight testicle musk. I'm out of here. Good. Good, because she's not going to take it up the butt. I mean, if that's where she – that's her breaking point, you're better off, you know. Hasta la visa. That's what I say.
Yeah, I get it. Well, that's there. My mind went in two different directions. I was expecting you to finish that sentence differently. Where, like, you know, if you're with a person, and you know, there's a, just a slight, you know, testy malodor. Is that a real word? Malodor.
Yeah, it is now.
Malodorous nuts. Just a slight one, and they're like, you know what? You've grossed me out. I can no longer see you anymore, then clearly they're not the one. You're not getting married to that one.
Right.
But you said, clearly, she's not going to take it in the ass.
Probably not. So,
but I think it works in both ways. Like, I was just thinking, any woman, like, if you have been wearing the same jeans and you haven't taken a shower in 3 days and your taint stench is, like, cranked to 11.
Yeah.
And you're getting it on with some girl, and let's say that girl gives you a blowjob and she doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Now that's a rowdy fucking wildcat, or
yes,
just a hippie.
One of the two.
Or she's in love with you.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
That's a beautiful thing. And you know what? Now that I think about it, if she's in love with you, and then she's probably willing to take it in the butt. And you know what? You do her a disservice by having a calloused wang-a-dang, because you're going to last too long. Because if you put it in the butt, she's doing it for you. She's not like, oh, I love it. She wants you to be in and out, get it done. Let's go out and get ice cream, right? But you got this callous, scaly, take you 15 minutes to shoot your load dick. What's wrong with you, dude? Put on a goddamn pair of underwear and think about your... you know, stank woman. That's what I say. Or man, right? Yeah, and man, right? So if it's a man, then it's only going in. Well, I guess it could go in other. Anyway, I obviously don't know. It's just these things I'm wondering about, because today's episode, Joe, tonight's or this week's or number 30, what are we on, 33?
I'm happy to say that I've actually lost count.
Which is kind of cool. Well, we're going commando. We are not wearing underwear on today's show. So,
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the genitalia stench themed episode of Just Because.
Yeah.
And we were talking about dicks and balls and calluses and taint stench so much that my cat needed to chime in. Did you hear that?
I did not. I didn't hear your cat. I did not hear your
she
pussy.
Has something
what
to
did
say
your pussy
about
say?
She said she was getting real fed up with the subject matter, and she said meow.
Well,
and I was like, hallelujah, sister.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, where do we go from here? I'm gonna drink Bud Light tonight.
Okay.
This is what that sounds like right here. I love this microphone.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Did that catch?
It did, absolutely.
I'm also gonna smoke a cigarette.
You smoke a cigarette.
I'm on health kick.
I'm drinking scotch, so we're all in this together. Yeah. I'll take a little slurpy slurp.
Okay. So we get to go whatever direction.
One housekeeping thing. I will not be in town next week. Mm-hmm. However, we've already recorded an episode, so I will cue it up so that it automatically plays or, you know, hits the various RSSs for folks to. So folks won't miss anything. You'll miss me, Joe, probably, but I will be on vacation. And ask me where I'm going.
Where are you going, Jason?
I'm going to Paradise City.
Hmm.
And I'm going with my wife and my son. We're going to go down to Paradise City. And we're just going to have a rock and roll good time down there. And we'll be gone on Thursday because we just love going to Paradise City. Have you ever been, Joe? I'm just wondering. I've often wanted to ask you this question, Joe. Have you ever been to Paradise City?
No, but no? You know, I would really love to go someday.
You know, it's also
I would love to go.
You know, what else is true about Paradise City, Joe?
Oh,
did you know that? Now that's opposed. That's as the grass is green. And the girls are pretty in Paradise City. But if you go to Shitty Town, the girls are ugly and the grass is brown. So I wouldn't suggest going there. Go to, you know, you should go. I'm thinking you should go to, Paradise City.
That whole bit was fucking genius. Thank you.
Let me tell you. I had to rewind the YouTube video every time. You'd think, oh no, he downloaded a clip. Nope. I tried to, fucked it up, said screw it, we're doing it live. And if you're interested, go to YouTube, look up Paradise City, fast forward to minute 2:09, is that how you say it? 2:09. And just play it for 1 second. Play it to 2:10. And I got to tell you, I have watched this 300 times now. And every single time in the video, Axl Rose is on stage in his white leather jacket and his white leather pants. And he's just dancing for 1 second. And it's a beautiful thing.
I was going to say, why don't you wait at the train station, use a little patience, and then take the night train down to Paradise City. Meet Mr. Brownstone, and he will tell you, welcome to the jungle, you're going to die.
You are going to die. I don't know, I've had this thing in my head, not to turn this into a music episode, but I was...
Why not?
Well, you know, we often do... I was driving to a therapy appointment, right? And I was going to go talk to somebody about my crippling depression and my...
Jason, are you okay? Oh, wait. That's not are you okay, Jason?
Well, I was on my way, and I wanted to play some light jazz to kind of get into a more mellow mood because my therapist gets really upset when I walk into the door screaming. So I'm searching the radio for light jazz, and this rock and roll station comes on, and it's the middle of this really awesome guitar solo. And I don't mean guitar solo like it's a virtuoso, like it's just the riffs are like a chug a chug chug a chug chug a chug, and the drum, and then the guitar player took off, and I realized after about 4 seconds, this is Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue. This song's way better than I remember it. So I went to therapy and I told my therapist that I wanted to kill myself, and she's like, you know, it's probably not a bad idea. And I was like, okay, here's your check, bye. And I came home and I listened to Dr. Feelgood about 100 times and decided, you know, I was going to play it on the show tonight, and then I remembered, oh, I'm going down to, I'm not going to be here next week, you know, I'm going to Paradise City, and I wanted to, you know, play that, so.
Well, here's the good thing. You go to your therapist, that didn't really work out, it sounds like. But then you went home and you listened to Dr. Feelgood over and over again. And
I did.
Just by the name of the song, I'm hoping it made you feel good.
It made me feel good. Hey-o. Well, Mr. Brownstone and Dr. Feelgood and, you know, all those songs about heroin, I just – they make me want to do heroin. I know we're going to do a drugs episode.
I think they were designed for that.
That's not what they're for? Are they supposed to be cautionary tales?
And I think that's funny. I don't know. I think it's safe to say that the members of Guns N' Roses and the members of Motley Crue. I want to be nice here, but let's. I think they struggled with substance abuse.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them still do. And I believe that both of those songs were meant to be cautionary tales. That seems like it doesn't really work when a band full of substance abusers write you a cautionary tale. Maybe that does work because it's like, don't do this. This is rough. Don't do this.
But
so we're gonna write a song about it for the kids.
Well, I can't say for sure. I always assume Dr. Feelgood is about heroin, but I guess it's about drug dealing, right? So the cautionary tale is not necessarily, hey, if you decide to get into dealing, don't do it or ruin your life. It's more like, hey, if you decide to get into dealing, don't get caught. Because that's what happens to Dr. Feelgood, right? Or what's his real name? Jimmy, I think. Rat-tailed Jimmy, yeah. So that's the cautionary tale. And then Mr. Brownstone, if I recall from those lyrics, it's really the caution is, you know, he won't leave me alone. He won't leave me alone. So just, you know, put your foot down and say, hey, Mr. Brownstone. You know, I go on stage about 11. Get on the bus about 9. No, I go on stage at 9. When do I go on stage? Anyway.
Well, you get up around 11. No, you
get up around
about
7.
7. Get out of bed around 9. You don't give a fuck about nothing only because it's one's a waste of your fucking time.
Yeah. Let's just say Mr. Brownstone, he won't leave me alone. Just you know what, call up Mr. Brownstone's friends and say, you need to talk to Mr. Brownstone for me because he's creeping me out. I think that's what they're trying to say. They're not saying, don't do heroin. They're saying, don't let creepy Mr. Brownstone's... Wait, isn't there another song like by Counting Crows about Mr. Brownstone?
I think that there's probably so many songs about heroin that we could do 5 shows about it, and they wouldn't be very good shows. I think we can really sum this up by saying these songs about heroin are not meant to be like public service announcements. I think a lot of these people are substance users and abusers, and they start writing songs about it because it's part of their life. And,
yeah.
And we can probably keep it at that. I don't know.
I guess so. I'm not trying to say that people should use drugs. I just feel like it's a little bit disingenuous for somebody who's got fortune and fame to tell me, you know, don't use drugs because, well, you do. You still got your fortune and fame. It's like, oh, I feel miserable. Yeah, I bet you do with your million-dollar mansion, you know. Telling girls to not go away mad but just go away. Wouldn't we all like to do that? I mean, she's mad because your balls stink, but whatever.
We're back to that. See, we're keeping to a theme here.
That was the goal.
We've got a couple of themes. But I think I just want you to know that I've seen the needle and the damage done, but every junkie's like the setting sun.
I was going to say that, except I don't know what song that's from. yeah.
That's Neil Young.
Neil Young. Oh, the original. Did he ride around on a horse with no name? That's a drug reference, isn't it?
Well, those are the guys from America.
Neil Young.
Is that what that's a fucking heroin song too? Went through the desert on a horse with no name. He's on the horse.
Oh, it's America.
Fuck it.
That's
right.
Not Neil Young.
America is the name of a band.
Yeah.
And I believe, sorry, America fans out there. Oh wait, there are none. Ian doesn't like America.
He doesn't.
So,
okay.
I think I can speak for him in this regard. I don't think our listener enjoys America. Not the country. The country, there's lots of benefits to being in America, but the band is kind of shitty, and the only song I bet that you've ever heard from them is that one song.
Yeah.
They were a one-hit wonder, I think. Or maybe I'm totally wrong.
No, I'm looking at their Wikipedia page.
Without Wikipedia, I need you because I don't do the Wikipedia thing on the show. But normally, that's my knowledge base. I don't store anything in my brain anymore. Right. I just look at fucking Wikipedia.
Well, I'll say this about the band. Here's some things just because we're talking about it and I'm on Wikipedia. One, they're from England and their name's America. Two, they've got like 30 albums.
They're from England?
Yeah, they're from England. They've got 30 albums, if I'm counting, close to that anyway. A lot of them are, box sets and best ofs and all this, but they got quite a few. Their first album came out the year I was born, and as far as A Horse with No Name, I'm trying to see if this is the only interesting thing about it, and you are a musician, you can explain this. It was recorded in the key of E Dorian.
Okay,
what's Dorian? Which one's that?
Well, Dorian is a mode, but I couldn't tell you which steps on the major scale Dorian hits. Wait, Dorian is major scale. You know this shit better than I do. If I have a guitar neck right in front of me and you told me, here, play a Dorian pattern, a Dorian mode, I believe I could do that.
But you probably could.
Can't you tell me? You're asking me. You're putting me on the spot. I'm supposed to be a musician. You're just trying to fucking humiliate me. Just tell us what Dorian is.
As far as I know, and I just, I had to look it up too. I mean, I know there's different modes, but Dorian is the one where just play the white keys on a keyboard and start with D and go up to D. So a minor third and a minor seventh.
You start with D, so that's the mode.
Yeah, that's your, so it's a minor third and a minor seventh. So what's that? So that's whole half. Right. And none of those holes are calloused or appreciated if you take too long, and just get it done, dude. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, just to belabor the point and bore the shit out of everybody, here, folks, you either listen to us talk about ball sacks or fucking bands no one likes. That's JBC. Boom. But it says that on Wikipedia, the song's resemblance to some of Neil Young's work aroused some controversy. So that's my out for saying Neil Young did A Horse with No Name, which is about heroin. Okay, it's not about heroin, and it wasn't Neil Young, but Wikipedia used his name, so that's my out.
Well, thank you for breaking down that information.
You're welcome.
I could have sworn that if your name is America, your band originates from America, but I'll be goddamned they're British.
Well, let's look up real quick, since I'm on Wikipedia, let's look up Kansas. Where are they from?
I'm going to take a wild guess, go out on a limb here, and say that they're not from fucking Kansas.
Probably not. Let's see. Where are they from?
Are we gonna establish something here?
Oh, shit.
About band names?
They're from Kansas.
Look, Boston's from fucking – oh, they are from Kansas.
Apparently.
And Boston's from Boston.
They are? Where's Chicago from?
If they're not from Chicago, I'll eat my fucking shoe right now.
How about eat your underwear, because we're – Would you do that?
Yes, my taint and nut stinky underwear.
Okay.
That's what I'll eat if Chicago is not from Chicago. Now, I mean the band. If you find one member that's from fucking Toronto or something, that I'm not eating my underwear. I want to establish the rules here. Tell me where the band is from, please.
They're from Chicago, but if I find one guy who's not from Chicago, will you like lick the hem or something? I mean, can I – just for a listener?
If I name that member, can I be exempt from all underwear licking and eating?
You can, except that I'm not going to go and find out who that guy is. So here's a quiz for you. Where is the band Asia from?
It's Peter Cetera.
You're right.
Peter Ceteris.
He's from...
Because he came later, and I swear to God, they found him somewhere else. I don't know where he's from.
Can I just say something, Joe? Yeah. The fact that you know even the name of one guy from Chicago, like, do you know the name of one guy from that band? That is so music nerdy. I hope it got you laid at some point in your life, and I hope that she was like a little bit discerning, like, are you wearing underwear? Okay, fine, if there's a little bit of aroma, I'm gonna go with it. At least you tried. That's who I hope.
I couldn't explain to you what a fucking Dorian mode is, but I know who Peter Cetera is. I don't know, I wouldn't call myself a music nerd, maybe, but you know what, Do you know anything about Peter Cetera?
I bet
you've heard.
I do.
Can you sing me a solo song from Peter Cetera?
I am a man who will fight for your honor. Oh, that's not solo. That's, I guess, Chicago, isn't it? Or is that him?
That's just him, I think. It's a fucking Karate Kid song. It meant a lot to me because I thought I was the Karate Kid.
I only know that song because my wife likes it. He's got his own website. He's 73. 73? He's 73, Joe. And he's from Chicago, Illinois. So, no, he's not the one who's not from Chicago. You now have to sniff your own underpants.
Wait. He is from Chicago?
Yeah.
All right. Luckily, this is an audio podcast, but here for you, Jason, and for everyone listening, and that would be Ian. If Ian's not listening, it's from one of our fans in Ireland, but only one of them. I am now taking off my green, stinky, tainted underwear.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it a lick here. All right, that's for you, Peter Cetera. And that makes me want to, maybe a few weeks from now, I want to obscenitize another song, and I've been trying to think of what a good song to obscenitize is. Now, it's tough to sing like Peter Cetera, but I would like to obscenitize. I am a man who will fight for your honor.
Yeah, I think you can do it. Do you want to reveal what the theme of the obscenity will be, or do you want to wait?
Actually, right here on this episode, I have no idea. I do have a sense when I run across a song that is ripe.
Mm-hmm.
Some radar goes off, and I'm like, that's ready. Like, that needs dirty lyrics. It needs something wrong. Like, take out all the lyrics that worked and put in something that is horrible. And that's one of them. If you think about it, Jason, because a couple of times you're the one that has given me – you'll just give me like two words.
I've got it. I'm ready. Okay. All right, I am a man who will bite on your ball sack.
Okay. I might have to alter that a little bit, but you're really on to something here,
yeah.
Jason.
It's called The Glory of Love, and I think you should call it The Gory of Love. And just talk about how, you know, you're gonna kill and eat a person. Or not kill, but eat a person.
The glory of love.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think about this. Okay, I'm glad we had this moment on the podcast.
Yeah. This is good. This is good material we're coming up with. The band Asia, since we're talking about bands named after places.
Yeah, let's play this fucking tape to the end. Asia.
Where are they from?
They're not from Asia.
No.
Are they?
They're from England. They're from England. Europe? Where's Europe from?
Brits.
Where's Europe from? Joe, guess?
Oh, okay. They're from America.
No. They're from Sweden. Yeah, okay. I had no idea. Well, I had no freaking idea. No clue.
All right. Is there a band called Alabama?
Yeah, there is. Real quick before I do Alabama, I Googled Sleater Kinney. They're not from Sleater or Kinney. They're from Olympia. Alabama, where are they from? Do you want to guess?
Wait, which band? Sorry, I spaced out there for a second.
Sleater Kinney.
Sleater Kinney?
Yeah.
Come on, they're from New York, right?
No, they're from Olympia, Washington. Alabama is from Alabama, so you got that one right.
Boston's from Boston.
I'm going to double check real quick to make sure you're right. Boston is from Boston, and so is that other band with the guy in it with the lips.
The Mighty Mighty Bosstones?
That's not a band. That's a travesty. No, the guy with the lips, Aerosmith, they're from Boston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I can't think of other bands that are named after cities. Can you?
Nope, that was it. Cities or countries or. I know that Led Zeppelin is. They grew up on the corner of Led Street and Zeppelin Boulevard.
That's right. That's where they came up.
And
with that.
that'll be going on the next bad joke, Taj.
I think that's a good idea. Well, there's Nazareth, but I mean, They're not from Nazareth, right? I mean, we're not going to look them up, are we? Nazareth. They're not from Nazareth. No? There's a band called Phoenix. There's a band called Baton Rouge. Looks like they'd rather be Motley Crue. They're trying really hard. A band called Houston.
Oh, Berlin.
Ooh, Berlin. Where are they from? That's a great question. This is a great podcast.
Oh, man. We're knocking it out of the park.
We are just boom. Well, you know, we're talking about how do you follow stinky nutsack conversation?
No, nope, we blew our stinky ass load at the beginning.
We sure did. Berlin is from Los Angeles.
Into the hair of a woman that loved us.
A hippie woman. She had long, beautiful, blonde, straight hair.
Doesn't mind taint stench.
She doesn't. She embraces it. No, Berlin is from L.A., California. So, all right, we can move on.
I'm afraid if I say taint stench one more time, you're going to name the fucking episode that, and I just fucked up. Can I ask that you please don't? Please don't do it.
Oh my God, that's awesome. That is exactly watching the horror in your voice while you went through that process was so I won't name it Dane Stitch, but okay. That was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Here's how we can shift gears, Joe. Move away from Wikipedia searches and taint stench. We could do a couple ads. We're at the 30-minute mark here. So do you want to do a couple ads? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who went first, last. I'll just whatever you want
to
do.
Why don't you go first? Because I need to go find my copy. It's around here somewhere. You want to go first? Is that am I putting you on the spot there?
No, that's fine. Here, I'm going to open. Oh. Yeah.
You're going to open some stuff.
I will have. Can you hand me that copy real quick?
Yeah, I think it's. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Found it. You ready to read?
All right. Cool.
Let me give you a little intro here.
All right. I'm ready. Just imagine a delicious raspberry cheesecake, a hot, fresh glazed donut, a heaping slice of devil's food cake with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on the side. Now, put those images out of your mind, because here at Honeymade, we offer something much less alluring. Fucking graham crackers. Bland, dry, barely sweet. The most who-gives-a-fuck food since unflavored popcorn. Graham crackers are to the dessert world what John Tesh is to hard rock. Sure, if you make a pie crust out of them, they're able to contribute something. But if you eat them on their own, it's not even worth me finishing this sentence. In the world of desserts, graham crackers are like the Quasimodo of facial symmetry. Graham crackers make an Oreo cookie seem like a mind-blowing delicacy, and they make rice cakes seem similar to graham crackers. In the world of desserts, graham crackers are like the Willy Wonka of child safety, the John Wilkes Booth of theater safety, or the Pee-wee Herman of theater cleanliness. Here at Honeymade, we believe that graham crackers are a wholly unremarkable food product, unless you eat them in a s'more. We suggest that you eat some less.
Here. That's a good punchline at the end, and I liked it a lot, a lot, a lot.
I'm glad. You know, I think it's great when during the podcast, if we don't make each other laugh, sometimes we get just an academic nod to the quality of the comedy. And I pictured you with glasses and a pencil behind your ear.
Yeah.
And you took the pencil from behind your ear and scribbled on a notepad. And you're nodding at me. Like, okay.
Yes.
Good job.
Kind of.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah. Here, tell you what. Maybe I can do the same to you. Hopefully you got your pencil behind your ear. I will read this ad that Larco sent over. They sent this over Monday. They are on the ball today. Coincidental. It's sort of thematic with your ad. That's interesting. All right. Here we go.
Are they on the stinky ball? The stinky commando ball? Go ahead.
well, the kind of opposite of that. I know you tell me. Anyway, how many times has this happened to you? Your wife or husband or non-gender-specific domestic partner nags you to clean out behind the stove, and you reply with that old saw that when you say you're going to do something, you'll do it, and she or he or it or they don't have to remind you every 6 months. Ha ha ha. But after your little chuckle, you decide to toss him a non-animal exploitive bone and do the cleaning. You pull the stove from the wall and, armed with a locally sourced, non-culturally appropriative, all-natural, 100% recycled fiber and corn husk broom, get down on your hands and knees to do some cleaning. And there, winking up at you like a diamond bought at fair market prices from indigenous peoples working for union-negotiated reasonable living wages, is a marshmallow. One that must have fallen down behind the stove after that time you and the Mrs. or Mr. or whatever got into that little tiff and you decided to use makeup hot cocoa instead of makeup sex, since non-procreative intercourse harkens too readily to a patriarchal paradigm that reinforces negative stereotypes about submission and servitude in the form of anti-yoga body positions and the tantric decay of the fourth chakra. But as much as you like to eat that marshmallow, right there on your hands and knees, it's covered with the dust. The fucking thing's filthy. Great. Another perfectly good source of non-GMO sucralose and plant protein-based all-vegan gelatin gone to waste. Hello, Mr. Town Dump. Hope you're looking forward to getting a little bit bigger. But wait! Larco to the rescue. Introducing our new Marshmallow Wash. Yes, with Larco's Marshmallow Wash, you need never throw away a filthy marshmallow again. Just whip out a can of Larco's Marshmallow Wash and spray that grime away. Larco's Marshmallow Wash is available in pump spray, aerosol, handy wipes, Ariana Grande, and convenient powder form for those times you need to take some Larco Marshmallow Wash on camping trips or into space. We also make available a gallon bucket of Lucky Larco Marshmallow Wash with a hose attachment just in case you ever find a bumper crop of colonizing marshmallows wallowing in a black algae-fied corner of your hoarder grandmother's basement. Order now and receive a free sample of Larco's new potato resoiler for those people who prefer eating store-bought spuds in their original pre-washed form, perfect for anyone with exotic vitamin deficiencies or pica. Larco's Marshmallow Wash, because waste not, want not, ain't just a phrase for tattooing on your ass to cover up the tramp stamp you got when you were 17 and living in that co-op in Battle Creek, Michigan. It's a way of life.
All right. Well, I got a couple of dirty marshmallows.
I bet you do.
Because I've been going commando.
Yeah, what's up? Is marshmallow ever a term or a word that's used? Or is graham cracker? Let me ask you this. I think it's a more interesting question, Joe. Because you've been around a block a few times. You've orbited the four streets that make up a block. You've been there. Is graham cracker, is that a sexual euphemism for something?
I think we could make up a dirty sex act and call it graham cracker. We'd have to...
I'd like to graham her cracker. Yeah?
It's like, you know what? Me and the old lady were really getting naughty, really getting nasty the other night. And I performed a graham cracker on her face.
Wow.
Again, I don't know what that means.
You know what I think would be funny? This is a meta podcast, right? So let's do this. If we can remember to, we probably forget, but let's let graham cracker be a really disgusting sexual act that we never define. Let's every once in a while just refer to it and say, you know, my wife and I were in bed last night. She said, you know, let's get kinky. I said, okay, let me show you the graham cracker. And now she won't speak to me.
Right.
But she keeps grinning.
It's like, what do you want me to do, honey? The glass bottom boat, the Cleveland steamer, the dirty Sanchez, or the graham cracker?
Oh, the graham cracker. Yeah. Turns out that in the state of Nevada and in parts of Wyoming, the graham cracker is not grounds for divorce like it is in the rest of the country.
Oh.
Yep.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I think people, you know, consenting adults, they should be allowed to graham cracker all the live long day.
Well, and, I agree with you. Yeah. It's not like you can graham cracker more than once a week or once a month for that matter. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit fed up. I'm reading Graham Cracker Weekly.
Graham Crapper.
Graham Crapper. I think we're giving it away a little bit.
No, I was going to say, we do want this to be a mystery, so, you know. That was Graham a bit Crapper. Of a slip there.
Whoops.
Slip. Oh, my God, I slipped again by saying slip.
You did.
Anyway.
I was reading Graham Cracker Weekly, and frankly, some of those pictorials are very unrealistic.
Graham
Crapper.
It's Graham Cracker Weekly now?
Well, we got the title for today's show, Graham Crapper. Write that down.
Well, there is such a thing as Graham Crapper Quarterly, but that makes more sense because, like, how often can you put out a full volume on that topic? Anyway, marshmallows.
Yeah, my wife found out that I subscribed to Graham Crapper Quarterly, and she was more offended by the price than she was by the subject matter. I mean, hello, marshmallows. What were you going to say?
Well, I suddenly had all these thoughts about marshmallows. And thank God, because I was about to be like, where are we at? Minute 42, and we're fucking done.
Yeah.
That's just because my brain is empty.
Yeah.
But check this out. Marshmallows. I fucking hate marshmallows.
Really?
Yeah.
Like for true?
I can't stand marshmallows.
Like as a concept or in your face? I mean, what's the problem?
I can't think of, if there was a huge pile of marshmallows.
Yeah.
Like a really big one, like the size of a Volkswagen Bug.
I was going to say that. I was going to say like the size of a VW. Me? No, I'm not. I am not marshmallowing you. I am not Graham Crappering all over your face right now. I really was going to say that.
Well, man, this is the only way I would enjoy marshmallows. There was a VW Bug size pile and I was naked and I got to run squealing and jump into it. That would be fun. Consuming marshmallows in any form, in any state that the marshmallow is in,
yeah,
is fucking disgusting for me. And you asked me, what was your question? As a concept,
yeah,
do
like
I
as
not
a,
like it?
Right.
Yes, as a concept, I don't like it. As a food item, I like it even less.
Yeah.
I feel like a marshmallow is some sort of toxic synthetic substance.
Yeah.
Actually, if you're on Wikipedia, tell me that it isn't. I'm convinced in my mind right now that it is just a synthetic toxic substance.
Let me see. I'll see. Marshmallow. Okay. They were invented I'm on Wikipedia. Let's see. They are made out of egg whites, the scrapings off of the inside of a pair of jeans if a person isn't wearing underwear, and sugar.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't call it. That's organic all around.
It is.
Anyway, it seems synthetic to me. Now, when I think of marshmallows, the most disgusting form of marshmallow are the marshmallows that you find in cereal.
Yeah, oh, yeah, little dried hard nuggets, yeah.
Well, tell me your thoughts. You know, I could keep going on this maybe for a little while. Marshmallows in cereal are particularly disgusting. Marshmallows just cold right out of a bag. Mm-hmm. Is fucked up. Like, that's gross, man.
Marshmallows right out of the bag is fucked up.
Yeah, and then let's say you melt the marshmallow. Maybe that's a little bit better. I could, like, tolerate that for a moment, but then I can't get out of my mind that it's like, I feel like you're biting into, like, some sort of styrofoamish product, especially in cereal. Like, it seems like there's a bit of styrofoam that you're biting into, and then it kind of starts immediately melting into an unpleasant fucking goo in your mouth. You know?
No, yeah, I know what you're saying.
What do you think about marshmallows? We are related, and some of the food things, you know, like food what's the word I'm looking for? Like propensities towards certain foods, mm-hmm. I think are they're genetic traits.
Yeah.
Sentences are fucking terrible, but
no,
you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Yeah.
Where do you stand on marshmallows?
I guess, I mean, because we're talking about this kind of thing, I'm trying to imagine which celebrity, like if you said, I'm going to give you you know, so-and-so, I'm going to give you her underwear. Would I keep it or would I sell it, right? Like, if you gave me, like, if you gave me Ariana Grande's underwear, I'd probably sell it because I make a lot of money off that. But if you gave me Sandra Bullock's underwear, I'd probably keep it, you know, for personal use. And then, like, if you said that, oh, by the way, we're going to throw in a bag of marshmallows, would that change my decision, right? It's like if you said to me, we're going to give you Ariana Grande's underwear, but she wore them with, you know, she put marshmallows down there too. Like, damn, man, I changed my mind now. Where it's like, hey, there's a Sandra Bullock's underwear, but she ate a bag of marshmallows before she put these on. I'm like, well, now I'm going to sell them because I can probably find a really esoteric market. I think to answer your question, Joe, I don't have a problem with marshmallows. Like, you and me are in a store and we're looking for some booze, and we're trying to, like, you know, we're trying to get fucked up because we've got to do our taxes, and someone's like, hey, you know, buy 3 bottles of vodka, get a bag of marshmallows free. And you're like, no, fuck that. No, no, we're getting tequila. I'm like, hey, Joe, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. I will eat the marshmallows.
Jason, if we went into a grocery store and you picked out, or like, okay, we got to do our fucking taxes, man. This is, but by the way, this is our future.
Yeah.
But when both of our wives leave us and we we live together, you know, when we're in our 60s,
yes,
like, we got to do our fucking taxes, honey. But I won't call you honey. We'll grab you. you grab the tequila, and then we're walking through. If you said, hey, I'm getting these marshmallows, and you actually picked up a bag of marshmallows, I would smash the fucking bottle of tequila over your head. Because I hate marshmallows that bad.
You don't even want me
and
to
if,
eat
if
them.
If you even made a gesture to, like, I'm bringing these marshmallows into our house,
yeah,
I would physically accost you. I would injure you.
So it's not just – so you got to answer my question about – it's the concept of marshmallows. Just marshmallows in your face. You're like, no, don't. I want their existence to be removed from.
Yeah, I'd
your
rather they
base.
Be used to catch stuntmen that are trying to jump dirt bikes off of trains or something. That seems better. If you had a huge pile of marshmallows,
yeah,
and you were trying to jump a dirt bike onto a train. Which, by the way, if you can name the movie where that actually happened, I'd be impressed. Anyway, jumping a dirt bike onto a train for, you know, while you're shooting a movie, instead of a bunch of boxes, how about maybe that would be ridiculously expensive, impractical, but man, big old pile of marshmallows. That's safety. See, I just think that they're being used for the wrong thing.
Okay, I hear what you're getting at. You don't want them to be eaten, but you're okay with them being fluffy receivers of high-impact motor vehicles.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Like in the movie Super Cop, starring Jackie
Thank
Chan.
Thank you. Oh, that's what that pause was, you Wikipedia bitch.
It's so true. It's so absolutely true. Where is
the
podcast?
I'm not on Wikipedia. I'm going to tell you right now, this is like the Peter Cetera moment. That is Michelle Yeoh that did that, and she did it. She starred in the movie, and she fucking did it, and she wrecked the motorcycle several times before she successfully landed it on the train. Those people don't fuck around. Jackie Chan. Okay, we're going to move on to Jackie Chan.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, that's man, that is a stunt. Fucking A. And she's never done anything like that before, as far as I understand. You don't want to fuck with Michelle Yeoh.
You don't.
And she's probably like 55 or something right now. And she would kick your silly ass, Jason, she kicked mine.
You know what? I'm just – so here's what you got to ask yourself, Joe. Michelle Yeoh comes up to you and says, I'm going to kick your ass or I'm not. It all depends on whether you eat this marshmallow. What I'm asking you, Joe, is do you want your ass kicked or not? And are you going to eat their marshmallow to get what you want or not?
I just realized this. I got to say this out loud. If I had to, if Michelle Yeoh was standing right in front of me and she was like, eat this fucking marshmallow or I'm going to kick your ass up and down this sidewalk, mm-hmm, I'd eat that fucking marshmallow.
Yeah, you would.
I can't take her. I can't fucking take Michelle Yeoh.
No. What I mean to say is, oh, so if she said, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't eat the marshmallow, you would
eat
it.
Yeah, no, I took a different angle there. I just had to get it out of my mind. Now repeat your question again. Yours was slightly different.
No, I'm just – okay. First of all, let me ask you this question. How old did you say she was? Probably.
I'm
what was your guess?
55.
Boom, you nailed it. She is exactly 55.
Are you fucking kidding me?
As of August 6th, buddy. You – boom, nailed it. But no, I'm. This
if
is what I'm
I
saying.
If I weren't a married man – I would fuck her. No, she would fuck me. No, she would fuck me to death.
That's what I'm asking. It's like if she said, hey, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't eat this marshmallow. I'm thinking, Joe, don't eat the marshmallow. Enjoy the ass kicking. And then she's like, oh, wait a minute. My goal was to get him to eat the marshmallow. And like the next day, she's like, hey, I'm going to not kick your ass unless you eat this marshmallow. Now you're gobbling that little tasty sucrose and gelatin thing down?
I would like to think that, again, I'm going off – going off the rails here.
Yeah.
I'm going off the train on a dirt bike. But I would like to think – I want to reconsider her kicking my ass because she fights with such passion that hopefully if she kicked my ass, suddenly we would tumble to the ground and then, you know, smash cut to us laying on our backs in bed. I've got a black guy and we're both smoking cigarettes.
Right, right. And she leans over and she's like – you should start wearing underwear.
Because I can't handle your taint stench.
Right. And then she feeds you a marshmallow, and then, you know, the credits roll, and we hear, wah, wah. I don't know. I'm just being stupid now. Hey, speaking of all of this frivolity, I'm going to be a little bit self-serving here. I was telling a story on last week's episode, and I never got to finish it.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. This is I did want to get to that. God, I felt like I was missing something. Like there was some loose end that needed to be tied up.
Yeah.
And actually, one of my only thoughts coming into this show when we do either when we do a commando show, which is like I think we've determined that's like ads only, or yeah. We do a naked show, which is ads and an argument for cancellation.
Yes.
Or we do what is called Bareback Mountain, which is no ads, no theme, no montage, no proper use of the English language, like nothing.
Right.
And so all these different categories of shows that we do, we're doing Commando, and I lost my train of thought. Oh, that's the thing. Coming into this episode, I was like, I have nothing, like most Commando episodes. I have nothing. All I have is a copy of an ad.
Yeah.
Like, well, one thing I want to ask Jason is maybe to recap. I want to tell Jason, so I'll tell you now. I feel like we've had a lot of guests lately, and it makes me feel a little distant from you because we're hosting other people, and we kind of focus on them a little bit. You know, some of the stuff has been a lot of fun. Some of it's been weird. Tamedian got on I got too drunk to do the show. That was embarrassing. Like it's like,
no.
But I feel like we've had so many guests that I feel a little out of touch with you, and so I wanted to get before you finish the story that I call the Three Tiger Steves.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your take on that. Like all these guests that we've been having. What is your general kind of feeling about these last several episodes and how things have been going? Like what are your thoughts about the podcast and all these guests?
I'm going to be sincere with you right now. I honestly feel like the guests are sort of the underwear that keeps us from getting too calloused, but I like going commando, and you really can't enjoy commando if you don't wear underwear every once in a while. You know what I mean? It's like if that's just your lifestyle, you're just like, hey, I'm just a let them hang and dangle kind of person. Then it's not like it is what it is. But I think every once in a while having a guest sort of, it makes me feel closer to you because we don't always have guests. And so after we don't have one, the next episode, I'm like, it's my buddy. It's my pal. It's my Joe. Hey man, how is your calloused stank going? You know what I mean? So I like having guests, but I also like not having them all the time. Like, I think we should have Ian back on real soon. I miss that guy. And
oh, yeah, because he was asking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually was, by the way, and I hope, Ian, that you're listening to this, but he was like, how dare you fucks not have me on the on the book episode, because, you know, I think you understand Ian, like, he's a voracious reader. He designs video games. Like, he's an intellectual guy.
Yeah.
And it didn't occur to me, like, oh, he could really add to that conversation. Honestly, I didn't invite him on the show because I was getting sick of his ass.
Oh, well, I am not sick of his ass.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know,
but
you're
if we
fucking
do another
him.
Book episode, that might be fun. I think we should just have him on next time we do a show, just because it's fun to talk to him.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking. And to, you know, like I said, I'm repeating myself, but to answer your question, having these guests on that particular episode, maybe you and I aren't, you know, in lockstep. That's fine. I think we're enjoying our guest. And it's sort of like, you know what it is? This is what it is. It's like you and your wife go downtown and you pick up, like, a teenage prostitute, male or female, and you enjoy that person together. But that just means the next time you're doing it, you know, just the two of you, and you can reminisce, you're closer. That's what it is, Joe. When we do our Menage a Trois episodes, they're a lot of fun, but I think they make our marriage stronger, I guess is what I'm getting at. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. Thanks, honey.
You're welcome. Do you want me to finish my story now?
Yes. So this is the – well, you're going to have to recap it too, but
well, okay. So the gist of it was, I mean, if you remember – I was essentially, it was nothing more than trying to buy a frying pan. 7-Eleven was out. I went to a park to ask a homeless person if they would sell me one. I had my three tigers named Steve with me. Walked up to this homeless guy, and he ran away. And I don't remember exactly where it was in the story, but he ran away, and I thought my tiger scared him. But then he came back with three tigers of his own. He wasn't scared. He was excited. This homeless guy who, if I remember, owned several houses. So he wasn't only homeless in the sense of, you know, not in the sense of not having a home that he could live in, but he's homeless in the more, you know, the more metaphorical, like I called him homeless. And so that's what he was since. And he came back with three tigers. And then I don't remember if I got to this part of the story or not, but he said, I got three tigers too. He said, my three tigers are named Steve. And I was like, oh shit. I am not going to tell this homeless guy that my three tigers are also named Steve, because he's going to think it's some sort of freaked out conspiracy. He's going to throw on his tinfoil hat. He's going to lose his mind. And, well, here's the thing, Joe. I don't know. I mean, I know you pretty well, but I don't know for a fact that you do or don't have a third cousin who works at a salon where Lindsay Lohan goes to get her toenails done. I don't know if that's true about you or not. I'm not going to jump to conclusions here, right? But if you do,
shit, is that true? Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
If you have a third cousin who works at a salon, where Lindsay Lohan goes to get her toenails clipped, I'm telling you, dude, you may not have thought of this, but save those toenail clippings. Cause it turns out that is the only thing that a homeless guy who has three houses and three tigers, who are also named Steve, will accept as payment for a frying pan. And thank God I had that baggie in my pocket. I guess, though, the thing is, and I didn't even think about this at the time, but later I realized that he probably spells his tigers S-T-E-V-E, and my tigers are Steve, short for Steven, with a P-H, so I really had nothing to worry about. And that was pretty much what the story was. I had nothing to worry about.
Well, if you add up all those P-H's and all of your tiger's name, Steve, if you add all those P-H's, you know what you get?
What's that? And that's what
my response to the story.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. I guess it really, the question is, if your name is Steven with a PH and you shorten it to Steve, someone calls you Steve, is it with a PH also? Like, is your name S-T-E-P-H-E? Or do you just go ahead and throw in the V and just, fuck it, why not? I guess that's the real question.
Well, then you would be called Steve.
That's what I'm thinking. You'd be Steve. You know, I'm going to start doing that from now on. Anytime I meet somebody named Steve, I'm going to be like, hey, Steve. And he's like, what? I say, hey, Steve. And he'd be like, why are you calling me that? It's like, what's your name, right? He said, no, it's Steve. I said, oh, I thought you spelled it with a P-H. And he's like, oh, I do.
I think calling any Steven or Steve, Steve, is a microaggression against all Steves, tiger or human. And I want to say, you left out one in your recap. There was something very intriguing about the story of the three Steves. I should probably call it Alibaba and the Six Steves.
Yeah. Although they're spelled different. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What was that?
The reason why, I think you left this out of your recap. The reason why you went to the park to look for homeless people is because homeless people tend to have frying pans.
Yeah. I may have forgotten to say that they tend to, but didn't I mention that that's why?
Well, that's a belief that you hold. I want to make that clear. I don't know where you came up with that, but I found it really interesting.
I know you, Joe, but I don't know if you've ever been the mayor of a very small town. I don't know that. Like, I don't want to jump to conclusions, right? Either you have or you haven't. But when I was the mayor of a very small town, all of the homeless people in my town, in fact, we only had homeless people. I was mayor of a homeless town. We were a townless home. All of them had frying pans, and some of them had more than one.
Well, I thought that you were the quote unquote king of a shanty town, but I didn't.
Yeah, but we spelled king
less official and more psychotic. That was a bad time for you. I thought. I didn't think it was a one of your highest moments. I didn't think it was a.
Oh, I was extremely high. I was extremely high. No, but we remember. Okay, so you can spell Steve with a V, or you can spell Steve with a PH. You can spell King with a KING, or you can spell King with the MAYOR. I mean, it really. That's the English language, dude. It's fucked up. It is fucked up.
Anyway, I'm glad that those times are over. I don't think you should harken back to them and romanticize those times when you ruled over a shanty town. You were taking advantage of people that were mentally ill, and your mental stability was shaky at best.
Okay.
So let's put that behind us.
Okay, let's put it behind us. Tell you what, you know where we're going to put it, Joe? We're going to put it behind us, in between the underpants and the jean material. Boom.
Damn.
What do you think about that?
I feel like you just gift wrapped this podcast, and you rubbed a ribbon on your stinky commando taint, and then tied up that gift wrapped gift. Wow, that was redundant. And put a little bow on top. Mm-hmm. And
I think
you can tell by now that I've run out of material.
Well, I think you're doing fine, Joe. You always do a good job on these podcasts, and I'm being sincere. It's not sarcasm, and I'm not being sarcastic about my sarcasm. Okay. This is a meta show, but I draw the line at insulting my cousin. In fact, can I just set the stage for next week's podcast that we've already recorded, but will not be available until next week? For anybody listening now, and you're anticipating, you're like, ooh, 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 September, what would that be? September 22nd in the morning, I'm going to get up, I'm going to listen to that podcast. And I think it's one of our – you were just so loving when we recorded that. You were just so giving. You know what I mean? Do you remember?
I think we bonded. We took, I don't know, just we'd never been so close. We really understood each other.
Yeah.
And it comes through on that podcast. It also comes through that we had been drinking.
A little bit, but I guess I felt like, and I'm going to give you the last word on this because I want to get your take on this. But I felt like you were a mama bear and I was a baby bear, and you were fighting off wolves and then hugging me. That's what that podcast felt like.
Wow, there's probably a title in there.
Maybe.
For the show. But I wanted to say, I know that the music is already playing, but the dudes that are going to review our podcast told me that the review would come out on episode 260 of their podcast called Pod Gods.
Okay.
I listened to episode 260, and the review was still not there. So I started to harass this guy, and he promises me that at some point they will review the podcast. I'm not even worried about them listening to this. So
Flappy Bird Giovanni, I tell you what.
Yeah. Wait, what's his new name?
Flappy Bird Giannani. Giannani, maybe.
Anyway, man, the review is forthcoming.
Again, all right.
I don't think it's going to be a shining review, but I'll keep you all posted. That is you and Ian and some guy that's drunk in a ditch in Ireland.
I tell you what, forthcoming. That's the name of my gangbang DVD. Oh!
one thing missing from this podcast. Chocolate!